Lord, we thank you for your word today. I pray that it fuels our life. I pray that we would all get a revelation from your word for what the situations that we are facing. Lord, as this is the second part of finances, before we move on to something else, well, back to Acts, actually, I pray the power of God into our lives. Lord, that we all need a bit of a wake-up call sometimes on who you are and what you have done for us. And so I pray your power and your life. And Lord, your miraculous into our life and into our financial world today. For your glory, Lord, we live. The people of God said, amen. Amen. So he is the master of my need. Say it with me. He is. Who agrees with that? Not all of you. Some of you are not sure. Can I try and convince you today? So that'd be good. And I enjoy talking about finances. A lot of pastors don't. I actually don't mind it. And you've all gone very quiet. It's funny how that happens whenever you talk about finances. But hey, this is going to be an uplifting, encouraging word for you. Oh, okay. My wife agrees, and David's always an encourager. And who enjoyed Pastor John Finkeldy's word last week? Wasn't that just brilliant? Who's glad we've got him as a coach for our church? Yeah. So, John, if you're listening to this, what are they called now? Podcast. Then thank you for all that you've done for us over the years as a church. And John said, in fact, the message, I just want to give a little brief, because it sort of moves into my message of what he said, a few things, before I move into what I want to say this morning in this respect, that he's the master of my need. So let's keep that in the forefront of our minds. But John's message was, why I stopped tithing. Great message, title. And tithing is God's baseline for your life. Now, John said this. And it is actually the word of God as well. And he said that it's unlike a flat fee required to join your gymnasium or your football club as a member. God has given us equality in that whether we earn $300,000 a year or $30,000 per annum, the tithe is 1/10 of our income. Who knows that God's a fair God? It is the discipline week in, week out that we place our trust, our dedication in the Lord. We honour him with our lives. And then actually the real giving begins. So once we reach that baseline, then the real generosity starts. And this is a principle that may take a few years. So John said this so well last week. So if you're a brand new Christian, not been in church very long, you know, start at 2%. Start at 3% and then slowly, gradually build your faith up. Who knows that you're not saved by your giving? Just making sure, all right, that we're not saved by our giving, but who knows that the longer that you're a Christian and you realize what God and the extent of what God has done for you and the love that he's given for you, that generosity should abound. Yes? And Paul talks about this, the Apostle Paul. And he wrote most of the New Testament, so I think, and John mentioned, if you ever want to know about how to be generous, just go to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, which John touched on last week. Now, Andrew and I have made the deliberate decision to make room for God financially, because we're one in Christ, we're together, we're a couple, we're married. So we're two people, but we're one. And so I think as a married couple, it really helps to get this too, to have that kind of mindset together. We're not separate to God. We're actually one. Interesting. And I don't want to go down that track too much, but you are saved through what Christ has done for you on the cross. Is anyone grateful for that? And when you recognize those links, like I was saying, we get a generous spirit. It says in, come with me to 2 Corinthians 8, 5, the New Living Translation. So how do we get a generous spirit? Best of all, They went beyond our highest hopes, all right? Paul's talking about the Macedonian and the Philippian church. For their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord. Who thinks that's a good idea? Especially when we're talking about giving, who do we dedicate ourselves to? Dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And so this helps when it comes to the directions that we should have in our giving. And so in 2 Corinthians 8:4 it goes on, they begged us again and again, and these are, as John said last week, these are people who are particularly poor, don't even have enough to live on themselves. They begged us again and again for the gracious privilege of sharing in the gift of the Christians in Jerusalem. The context of this is quite remarkable. The Apostle Paul is giving us a principle to live our life by. And John mentioned that he gives in the vicinity now of around 20% per annum of his income. Andrew and I have been doing this for years. We tend to give about, well, our tithe is always a little bit more generous, but we then tend to give above and beyond to both Leap and to Spring and Our Story, Our Future, an equal amount. I'm not saying that to make any of you guilty today, but to recognize that once we have a generous spirit, we rely and trust on God, and He fulfills some of those other needs that we have. And so, like I said before, please don't feel guilty if you've just come into church today. God just loves that you're here. Number one, you're saved by grace. And so I wish to incorporate the theme of 2017, making room for God, this morning, into this message. And in particular, that when we make room for God in our lives financially, He is able to do the miraculous. Who believes that God can do the miraculous? Not just in healing, not just in a prophetic word, not just in, you know, they're all great things, but also financially God can do miracles. I want us to get this today as we're making room for God. In 1 Kings 4, if we go back to the original passage that I talked about at the beginning of this year, which I mentioned at the team meeting on Tuesday night, the Shunammite woman made room for God. She actually built a room for God in her house. It cost her something to do that. And God gave her, this is the thing, God gave her what she thought was impossible. Has anybody got some impossible dreams here today? I know Andrew and I have. Jared and Amber, you got impossible dreams. Who else has got impossible dreams? Steve, you got impossible dreams. You want to see them come to pass. Marg, who else? Come on, we have, right? Something is in our heart that God's got us to do that can only be injected sometimes as we trust God. And and there's a miraculous that comes. I want to talk about this more today. Are you looking forward to this? So, I didn't mention. So the one thing the woman lacked as she made room and she gave, and it cost her money to look after God. Who knows that it costs money to look after the house of God? All right, I haven't got time to go through all of this, but she got what she thought she could never have, an impossibility, and that was she got a son. She was given a son by the Lord. She thought her husband was past it and she got a son. How incredible. God can do miracles. And one of my favorite verses in the book of Acts, because we kind of got this overarching theme for a number of months now in Acts, is that in Him we live and move and have our being, and it goes on to say that we are His offspring. Does anyone here really believe that you are His offspring? Because when you believe that you are His offspring, it changes the way you think about money. And the Macedonian and the Philippian Christians really put this into action. In Him we live and move and have our being. No matter my circumstances. Who can say that today, that no matter my circumstances, I will not forget you, God? I will not. No matter my own financial hardship, I will not allow those things to stop a miracle coming into my life, into my hand from the Almighty God. I will trust the Almighty. He's my King, He's my Lord, He's my Master, He's got me. I want to talk about this. I will put him first and I will give to him and watch him fill the gap that is created through my giving. That's the faith. Say it with me one more time. He is the master of my need. 2 Corinthians 11:9. And when I was present with you, this is Paul again speaking, and in need. In the New Living Translation, it says that Paul did not have enough to live on. I was a burden to no one, he says. I was a burden to no one. That's quite incredible, right? Here is something we could all get into our hearts today. Though Paul did not have enough to live on, although he was going without food, although he was trying his utmost to help the church in Corinth, they gave him nothing. Now, if you're a Greek here today, be a giver and that'll be fine. All right? Just saying. It's not a... But the Macedonian Philippians came and filled his need. 2 Corinthians 11:9, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And some of those were Philippians. And so, the Philippian Macedonian church understood completely that he was the master of their need. And Paul is teaching us a great lesson, that although I needed something, I really didn't. Have you ever wondered why Paul talks like that? I am fully lacking nothing, even though we know that he was lacking a lot. And Paul is saying to the church and to us that God will send a need into your life to test you. Let me say that one more time. God will send a need into your life to test you. I was in trouble, Paul says, but I wasn't. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything, Paul says in Philippians 4. And so what Paul is saying is that as God's offspring, like Christ, is anyone God's offspring here today? Like Christ, we will go through trying circumstances in our life. Just from being a Christian, there will be suffering at times from the world that we live in. Yes? We've got to make principled stands against what the world thinks compared to what we think. If I went into my bank and said, well, this is how much I give, they probably wouldn't give me a loan. But I know far greater that my God will supply. Are you getting the picture this morning? I'm just setting a bit of a broader picture here. And so God allows certain situations to occur in your life because he's setting you up. Do you think that God knows that you have a need? Do you think God has the power to meet that need? So why is it that when it comes to our financial world that many of us bail on God rather than pressing into him? It is a good question, isn't it? And we all face this. We all do. It's part of our human, who we are. We have to, and then we have to go back to the Word of God. And that's why every now and then when we do a message on finance, it's good to hear this stuff, right? Someone agree with me. You know, when Andrew and I were a young married couple, this is before we had children. Hard to believe that now, that we were young. I mean, anyway. This is without kids and we had very little income. And for 1 year, we decided to go on Oz study together to finish our training that we were doing in Bible college. I was about 25 years old, if I remember correctly, something like that. And so we used to live in Marangaroo, which is north of the river. And we used to drive to Wembley because one of my friends said there's a job going, they need a cleaner twice a week to clean this real estate office. And so Andrew and I would drive twice a week from our house in Marangaroo to Wembley, which would take, 20, 25 minutes, to clean this appalling office. And I say appalling, if you're a smoker here, God bless you. give up. That'd do you so much good. But they all smoked in this office. Have you ever been into an office, at a real estate office after work, and they all smoke? And anyway, we're the cleaners. And there was dirty dishes and there was smoke in all the, you know, even in the cups. And I'm like, anyway. And so so we had the job of cleaning this place. And we could have had the attitude. And I must admit, Andrea was much better at this than me. And I'd kind of grumble a little bit as we drove there. What the heck are we doing this job for? Well, it's not worth the petrol money, let alone. But you know what? God changed my heart. As I got a good attitude in doing that work, God provided my needs. You know what happened in that period of that year? We've only ever had this once, and it's never happened again. We got a check in the mail from an anonymous person. And it wasn't a huge amount of money, but it was a lot more than the $40 a week we were getting for that job. It was $300. And Andrew and I were like, God's looking after us. We were on the edge, man. We were like, this is real Christianity. But you see, look, I had to change my heart. Andrew's just, she's very good at this stuff. It was the passage of entry for us into the next dimension. And those were some of the happiest days of our life. Who knows that the more money you've got, the more problems you've got. It was an adventure with Jesus in the driving seat. And your necessity is actually an opportunity to experience another dimension of God's glory. I'm getting there. And during that year, we received, like I said, this amazing check. And what God is saying from his word is, the trigger point of my supply is your need. And may I add a great attitude. And then another thing about this is that it's not that you don't have a proud look. Not, I'm okay. I don't need any help. God hates people too that they act like they're important. See, proud people will never admit need. But in the house of God, we should be admitting at least some needs. We can't be so proud that we think we can get along in life without anybody else. Otherwise, why be a Christian? And so, why would you have a Savior if you won't admit you're drowning? Why would you have a miracle worker if you would not admit that you have a need? If you don't need anything, you won't get anything. Huh? Ask and you will? So don't be proud. Don't be thinking, oh, I can get by on my own. Who are you trying to kid? So let me ask a really important question to every single person in this room. Is there anybody here today that has a need? Yeah. That's about seven. Is there anybody here? Yeah, come on, that's it. God has got all this stuff, but he cannot give it until there is a need. And the reason the Apostle Paul was grateful in little or in much was that how much he had wasn't really the issue, trusting God was. Whatever God creates, he fills. God formed this earth and it was without form and void. But he didn't leave it empty, rather he filled it with oceans. And then he put fish in those oceans, and then there was reef and coral and sand, and I've just come back from a diving trip, and incredible things in the ocean. Coconut octopus. Never knew them. There was such a thing. And they curl up in like a coconut, and they roll down the hill. Amazing. Who thinks that God's incredible? Come on. He didn't leave the sky void. He put birds in it. Anyone like birds? Better than not having birds, isn't it? Let's just think about it. Birds or no birds? I think I'll have the birds. He threw stars up into the heavens. You know, we're grateful. In Australia, we get to see them. He placed the sun and moon up there. I mean, he's not boring, our God. And God is saying to us that I couldn't release the answer until I formed it. He formed you. He put breath in you. He breathed his life into you. Is anyone grateful that you have breath today? You have life through him. And so God has a power to create something that isn't in your world right now. You've got to believe this. God has a power to create something that's not in your world right now. And so when you give him something, he can create. When you give him something, he can create. And so I want to go to a story before I close. Come with me to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. The story of Elijah and the widow. 1 Kings 17. I'll be about 15 minutes, I'll probably. So I'm happy for you to play. But and you're such a good-looking man. I'm sure you do outdo me, so you could probably stay and everyone can look at Bremer. But 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. All right, look at me. Here we go. 1 Kings. This is Elijah. You know what's amazing about this? God told Elijah to go to this brook and he would feed him. But then the brook dries up and then no ravens come and feed him anymore. Do you know God will put you in a situation to test you? And then he'll change that situation. You might lose your job. You might move from America to Australia. You might actually have a job 1 week and not the next. Oh, but the financial climate, Pastor, you just don't know. I want to talk about all this before we finish. Verse 9, 1 Kings 17. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. The prophet Elijah had a need. He wasn't getting fed. Happy prophet, feed him. Hungry prophet, not very good in his gifting. Angry prophet. That sounds like me. The brook where he was told to go by the Lord, the brook that which had been sustaining him had dried up. And God will place you in a situation that is entirely his will to see how you respond when things change, because he is wanting you to be a resilient Christian. Come on. I said this was for you, Rowan, and I'm sure it's for other people as well, but I really, really feel it's for you. And what I find most interesting about this story of Elijah in 1 Kings 17 is that God doesn't use a wealthy person to fill Elijah's need. He doesn't use a person of means at all. He uses a widow who is going to cook her last meal before she dies. I am going to sustain you through a widow who is broke. Say that again. Well, he didn't know that at the time. He just said, go and meet this widow. I am thirsty. I am hungry, and you are sending me to a widow who has nothing to her name. I will minister to your need. Does anyone here believe that God is the master of your need? I will send people to bless you, just not like you think. It won't make sense to you. And when I bless you, I don't want you to praise who I use. I want you to praise me. Elijah, I'm sending you down there and I'm going to show you my glory where she sees agony. She's cooking her sticks last meal before I die, she said. That's what she confessed. I'm going to show you how I will take something that looks like nothing and turn it completely around. Does anyone have a need here today? I will take something that looks like nothing and turn it completely around. Does anyone believe in the power of God for their life and in their financial world today? You don't have anything in this brook anymore. Listen to what the Word of God is saying, church. You don't have anything in that job anymore. You don't have anything with that person anymore. You don't have anything in that house anymore, but I am going to turn things around. And Elijah, I'm going to use your gifting. I'm going to use your creative ideas to create a miracle. I'm going to use who you are. I'm going to use who you are, Steve, to create a miracle through the creative ideas that I'm going to give you to change who you are. It's going to be an incredible thing because it's actually as you trust me that you will feel the presence of God on your life, and then as you engage in my presence, as you engage in the creative idea that I give you, your circumstances will turn around. That's not just for Steve, but it is for Steve, but it's for everyone, right? Rowan, your circumstances may or may not change, but you're going to become such a resilient Christian, and you're going to be such a... God's putting generosity inside of you. There's a faith step that's coming that's just going to... And you're going to have a testimony that's going to help other business people. There's a touch of God on you. Oh, it's so strong. Father, I just thank you for this man, and I pray today that you would just... Lord, I thank you that he's been faithful to you. That as he's come to know you, that you would not only heal him, but give him the comfort and the peace that he needs in his life. In Jesus' name. Oh my God, I've got to finish this message. Your current financial situation is not your problem. The brook that is dried up is not the problem. I will use you to display a need and therefore create a miracle. When we create room for God financially, it opens the world of miracles in his name. And when you give of your tithes and offering, it creates a gap. Who knows that when you give to God, there's a gap? No, I do. It creates a big gap sometimes. God, you want me to give how much? And there's this gap. But I needed that for that. There's a hole in your budget, your finances. Whenever you give above and beyond, like the Macedonian and the Philippian church, it creates a void that only God has the capacity to fill. I would rather have only God have the capacity to fill than not give at all. Because I know that as I give to God, there's a miraculous power that is going to come into my life. Is that Charles Chit? No. Yeah, look at that. Charles Chitty's in the house. All right. See, it is why the devil is so keen on God's people withholding. Oh. It's one thing he can't do because he's a taker. He's a destroyer. And if he can get you to withhold, he's done his job. He wants the church to be poor, but we're not that kind of church. I'm the master of your need. I'm going to put you in a place where people appreciate what I gave you. And God takes the need of Elijah and matches it with the need of the widow. And God takes a need and brings it to a need. Is anyone getting this today? Who knows that God is the carer of all his people? Verse 12, 1 Kings 17. So she said, as the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, only a little flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. The woman did not perceive what she had correctly. And I would say to people here today that you do not perceive what you have correctly. I'm kind of prophesying this message at the same time. I hope that's okay. And until you perceive what you have correctly, you will eat and die. Oh. And when you don't believe that you what you have is enough to help anybody else, you're going to eat and die. Not because it's not enough, but because of how you perceive it. And so God brings a prophet to see what she has and to give her another perspective. Can we have another perspective today as a church? And verse 13, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Say it with me, do not fear. You know, the devil, if he could go cause you to fear, you'll stop, you'll dry up. You won't give. Go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first. And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. You see, there is nothing wrong with what you have. There is nothing wrong with the oil. There's nothing wrong with a bit of flour that you have, but because you perceive it as an impossibility, your perception is killing you. And I want you to act like it is more than enough. I'm not sure you're getting this just yet. I want you to get this, that what you have, the little that you have, is more than enough. Can anyone believe with me today that the little you have is more than enough? See, I want you to set the table like you've got everything. I want you to put the best tablecloth on. I want you to put your silverware out. I want you to fill a nice glass of wine. I want you to have everything just right. And if you will serve it like it's more than enough, if you will give like it's more than enough, I will release flow into your life from the Creator God above. You see, I want to ask you a question, and we're going to 5 minutes, we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to take up our offering this morning in faith, in power, in glory. And if you've been withholding because you had a wrong perception, why don't you change that today before we take up the offering? A question: if you can see your way clear, is that really a miracle? Yes? No? No. If you can see your way clear, is that really a miracle? The woman had to trust God. She couldn't see her way clear. No way. The Macedonian and the Philippian church, they couldn't see their way clear, but they were pounding on Paul's door saying, we want to have this gift of gracious giving. You see, who will you trust to fill the void? And the real power of the miracle is not just that God sustained her and Elijah. 1 Kings 17:14, it will sustain you until it rains. Now, I just need to say this before we finish up. Until the outside blessing comes, until the economy changes, until you get a new job, until whatever your situation is, will you believe with me today that He is the master of your need? Come on, let's believe this morning. Until that contract comes, until that interview is a yes, until the climate changes, I am going to do something underground in your life because I am your God. I am going to do something in the power of the Holy Spirit to live as if it is raining. The Macedonians got this principle. The widow got it. Elijah got it. And I am here today to tell you that the little you have is far more than enough. And as you give it into His hands, the creative hands of God, He will fill the void. He doesn't say in verse 14, if you bake the prophet a cake first, if you give to God first, I will send you 100 jars or barrels of flour. He doesn't say that. He says, you are going to have the same barrel you always had. Who's listening this morning? Because I think we get a wrong mindset of how God wants to help us, because He's the master of our. He's the master of our. And so He says you're going to have the same barrel that you always had. The same handful of flour, the same small amount of oil. Now listen carefully. Just that every time you reach for it, I am going to give a release into your life. I'm going to show you what's in your barrel, and you don't know what I've got. And every time you need it, I'm going to send it. Every time you need it, I'm going to just have more there. You're never going to see any more than what you see right now. I'm not going to give you 100 barrels or liters of oil. I'm going to change your perception of what you've got. And when you reach, there will be more. Can anyone trust God today? There will be more. Every time you reach, as you continue to give out to God, every time you reach, that He will meet your need. So let me finish this before we take up our offering. I want to ask some questions. Will you allow God, the great Creator God, to use what you have to sustain you? Really important question. Will you allow the Creator God to use what you have to sustain you? Will you today change your perception of what you have? And will you recognize, like the Macedonian Philippian Christians, like the widow, that it is not what you have, like Paul, whether I abase or abound, but what you do with what you have. Who you give it to that creates a void that God will supply your need. He is the master of my. And Father, today I pray that every person here will be built up in the power of the living God and in His word, that we would be effective Christians and recognize that the miracle is there. We've just got to act on it. And I thank you that the little or the much that we have, that whatever gap it creates, you will fill our need. You will fill our need. And the people of God said, amen. Can we take up this offering right now? Thank you, church. Thanks, guys. And many of us give through electronic giving, and we just do that regularly. And so feel free to do that as well. You find out about the bookshop, how to do that.